Welcome to Speaking Out for the Blind. I'm Brian McCallum. Have you ever wanted to pursue a career in acting? Perhaps you may want to become the next big star in an upcoming movie or television show. Rick Boggs is here with us to talk about how you can do just that. Rick is a blind actor himself, and he's well known for his appearances in shows and movies, including The Net and Ally McBeal. He's also a musician, motivational speaker, disability rights advocate, and entrepreneur. Welcome to the show, Rick.
Thank you very much, Brian. Glad to be here.
How are you doing?
Just fine, and it's a pleasure to be with you.
I'm doing great, too. And so, first off, as we always like to do on Speaking Out for the Blind, let's talk about your own blindness. I saw on your official site, rickboggs.com, that's www.rickboggs.com, that your retinal detachment occurred at a very young age, and that was caused by Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. Tell our audience about this condition and how that's impacted your life.
You know, I did not even know the cause of my blindness for 24 years after I lost my sight at the age of 5. My retina is detached. I had 7 eye surgeries at UCLA, and they said, retinas are detaching, but we don't know why. It took a geneticist when I was 29 years old at the University of North Carolina to figure out that Ehlers-Danlos was actually responsible, a genetic disorder of the connective tissue in my body. Normally, Ehlers-Danlos syndrome causes joint problems, sometimes so severe that people have to use braces and other methods of trying to keep their joints from dislocating on their own. The joint problems have not been as severe for me, but 1 in 450,000 or so people that have Ehlers-Danlos lose their sight as a result of it. And that is exactly what happened in my case. And now that I'm getting older in life, I'm starting to see some of the joint problems that are usually associated with Ehlers-Danlos. Very few people that have Ehlers-Danlos are actually diagnosed with it, because normally it just means you're the double-jointed kid in school who can bend your arms all crazy and your fingers behind your hands and all that. And you have loose joints, as they call it. And no one usually goes to the doctor to say, why can I do this? But a lot of those kids with those that can do that actually have Ehlers-Danlos and are not aware of it.
Okay. Now what is that website?
I don't recall the URL, unfortunately, but I have been to the site and read a lot of the information that's there.
Okay. So despite your blindness and having Ehlers-Danlos, you've really developed some awesome talents. Swimming, surfing, skydiving, and yes, indeed, as is the topic of this show, acting. Now, out of all of these exciting activities, why did you decide to go for acting?
The reality is, Brian, that I'd never made such a decision. It simply became an opportunity that presented itself, and I have a habit, good or bad, I don't know, a habit of pursuing opportunities when they present themselves. And I was simply a recent graduate of a guide dog school in Sylmar, California, and had received a call from the school back in 1987. Saying that a film crew wanted to shoot a television show at the guide dog school, and would I be willing to come and meander around the school if they needed real blind people with guide dogs as extras, just background, while they were shooting their show. And I agreed to do that. At the time, I think it was $90 a day. And in the midst of doing that, at some point, someone... the director of the program, and it was a program called The Wizard, starring the late David Rappaport, a little person. And the premise of this episode was that he was making a robot guide dog and wanted to compare it to a real guide dog for effectiveness. And when it came to a particular scene, unbeknownst to any of us, the director realized that a certain part, the blind person with the guide dog, the real one, had not been cast. And so they got to that scene and they just decided, I guess, to pick from the extras, the 10 extras that were there. So they lined us up, asked us all to stand in line. They didn't tell us why. So all stand in line, and then they brought their movie dog, who was playing the part of the robot, to come and meet our dogs. And my German Shepherd, Brent, was impervious, just did not react to their dog at all. And next thing I know, I hear the director yelling over speakers, "I'll take the guy with the shepherd." And I knew I was the only blind person there with a shepherd, and I didn't know what he was going to take me for. But next thing I knew, a guy was rubbing a wet sponge on my face and saying, "Hi, I'm Fred. I do makeup. Do you know your lines?" And I was, "What is going on here?" And I said, "What lines?" And he said, "Oh, well, we'll get someone over here to..." Anyway, so it was easy enough. My task was to be led, sighted guide by an actor playing the so-called director of the school, who introduced me to this wizard guy that had supposedly invented this robot dog, and I was supposed to shake his hand, say hello or whatever, and that was the scene. And at the end of the day, the film crew and everybody was very excited and pat me on the back and saying, "Congratulations, you can get your SAG card." Well, I said, "Well, what's a SAG card?" I didn't know anything about it. I had taken I had a degree in broadcasting, and I was interested in radio, and I'd had radio programs at college, but I'd never pursued acting. And so this was an opportunity that clearly I realized I had a unique opportunity that some people would want to have. And so I immediately enrolled in acting classes and ended up, you know, a lot went from there. I worked almost every year from 1987 to 2001, at least one project a year. And then there was a 5-year gap where no blind actors got any work. And then I booked a few more things in 2007. So I was on TV quite a bit with a major television ad campaign from 96 through 98 as the spokesperson for AirTouch Cellular, which became Verizon after that. I did a lot of commercials and so on and so forth. So it's been a fun, interesting career, and I ended up getting very involved in trying to promote opportunities for performers with disabilities, and served on national committees at the Screen Actors Guild and so on and so on and so forth. So it's become a whole advocacy tool after that, but that's how it started.
Well, we're going to get a little more into those pursuits a little bit later, but let's now talk more about the challenges of an acting career. Definitely, acting skills themselves do stand out over your blindness or visual impairedness when it comes to being chosen for a role. I believe that the challenge here is you got to show that director that you can play the part well in both characterization and, yes, professionalism. Our audience might be wondering how you break the barriers as a blind person to audition for in being casted in these various TV and film roles. How, as a blind person, do you have a successful audition?
Well, the first thing is your attitude. To me, every actor, blind, disabled, or able-bodied, needs to understand that the audition is the show. That's what you can count on. When you get an audition, that's all you know you have. You can't be looking through the audition, past the audition, to the part, to the role. You can't be telling yourself you really want this job and how fun it would be to work on that set or how much you need the money or whatever the case might be. If you focus on those things, you'll never make it in the audition. The audition has to be your goal. You have to. It's like your private little show. You get to perform for a casting director or an assistant to the casting director, or if you're lucky, the producers or sometimes the director, not usually, producers of a show. And that has to be your performance, and you have to go to it with the idea that this is my show and I'm doing it, and not even look beyond that. And that, you know, and the goal being, how many auditions can you get? I mean, they're difficult to come by, but at least when you get the audition, that is a chance to do your bit. And it's not, I think, when you look at it as a means to an end or as a door to try to get to a place to the real show where you can, you know, do your work. I think then you're not going to give the best audition. Getting auditions, that's a whole nother long discussion. And some of the methods that are employed by able-bodied sighted actors are useful to blind actors as well. But I think there are additional strategies and different ways of going about it. I should point out probably what I think is the most important thing for blind actors. One thing you have to understand is that as things are today, a blind performer is not allowed to audition. You're not permitted to audition for a role unless that role is written as a blind character. It's not a written regulation or written policy, but it is in practice, it might as well be, because there is virtually no exceptions to that rule. If there's any, you're not going to get a chance to audition. There was a role for a teacher, for example, in, I don't know, Boston Public or something, that otherwise I fit the description beautifully, you know, and there have been many, many things like that. But I can't get into even audition for it because they say, well, that character's not blind. And in our minds, we might be able to argue, well, yeah, but the character could happen to be blind, even if the story's not about the blindness. But producers don't see it that way, and they're not. They say it distracts from the character, and so unless, you know, distracts the audience, so on and so forth. So unless it's a blind character, you're not going to get to audition. So that already means that if Hollywood doesn't write roles for blind people, then we're not going to have opportunities to audition, at least for television and film. Plays are different.
Do you think they'll ever ease the limits on some of these rules?
That's up to advocacy and how effectively blind performers and performers with disabilities work together to influence the practices, the employment practices in Hollywood. I, being a little bit optimistic about that, think that there will come a time when, yes, it will change. I hope it's in my lifetime. It's not too likely to be in my working career, I don't imagine, but I'd love to see it happen. I think it could happen at some point. I wouldn't say it's extremely likely, but it's at least possible.
Have they ever looked into like any special workshops for blind or visually impaired people who just want to act, like special like 3-day workshops? I remember when I was at San Francisco State University, and my major was broadcasting too, and my minor was theater. I was invited to a 3-day disability theater workshop. And during this 3-day workshop, we talked about our disabilities. We also did some play scenes and theater games and even some related scenes where a blind person could be in it. And do you ever think there will be any of these similar workshops, or are there any?
Well, these workshops, I've heard them, occasions with workshops for performers with disabilities. There have been disability showcases. There have been some, not too many workshops specifically just for visually impaired people, though I think I heard of one in San Francisco and I heard of one in New York. There was a theater of the blind in New York for a while that did things. Every 2 years, there is a festival for a blind theater festival in Zagreb, Croatia. I went in 2005, and all the theater companies that perform there have at least 50% members of their performers are visually impaired. There is a global, I guess, community of blind performers. Those guys are pretty focused on the stage and not film and television, and I really have never seen anything organized for blind actors for film and television, and it's a different animal. The way the techniques you use are different, and the way you get the jobs are different, the way you make your connections and so on. There's a lot, you know, there's a lot of differences between acting for stage versus acting for film and television. But I don't foresee any of the major players in the entertainment, in the film and television industry, organizing any kind of workshops for blind, you know, they're not trying to help us, you know, to find opportunities. That's not the way they look at it. You know what I mean? They reluctantly do whatever we might be able to force them to do. But so I don't foresee any kind of workshop or training or anything being organized from within the industry. Blind actors themselves might do it, but that's kind of the way that works.
Okay, so you pass the audition, and now you actually go on to the film shoot. And I had the opportunity this past June, rather, to participate as a narrator for a commercial shoot with the California Telephone Access Program. And so for one day, I had to go to San Francisco, and the director and all the other crew and staff helped me walk into the studio, walk on the set. I took their arms as sighted guides. They also gave me directions and moved me around to look in front of the camera, and they also helped me with applying makeup and all that stuff. And I also had my lines memorized. And this cut the shooting time for the whole thing in just minutes. So what's your experience been like on the film set when you've been in those great movies and TV shows?
There are some similarities between the audition and the actual shoot on the set that I think all blind performers should keep in mind, and that is, you know, the professionalism and the image of independence. To the greatest extent possible, if you can walk in there under your own power with your dog or your cane, be able to, you know, you need to bring your best game when it comes to O&M and body language, and you know, you're a blind guy in a sighted world, and you've got to fit in and function the way everyone else does to the greatest extent possible, because that's what puts people at ease. And putting people at ease is the real critical thing, both in the audition, to be confident and be friendly and be willing to be prepared to, you know, discuss or make comments on, you know, relevant topical issues to the that people might bring up. But I think that is making people feel comfortable is a really important aspect. Not really overdoing it and making your blindness such a big deal. In fact, you know, helping them realize it's not that big a deal. You know, if you got any questions, you know, you encourage them to let them know, hey, you know, I know I'm blind, you know I'm blind, and there's some things, and you guys probably, you know, I doubt you worked with a blind person before, so if you got questions, I'm not afraid to answer them, and nothing's offensive. So you break down the barriers and the fears as quickly as you can, and then get to work. So it's the same in an audition as a set when it comes to that. As far as the functioning on the set, you need to have a method in mind for handling scripts electronically with a refreshable braille device, or electronically with a screen reader via a computer or other handheld device, a stream or a book sense, or, you know, whatever the case might be, to be able to listen to last minute revisions or to listen to a script that you might get handed right there on the set. Or if you can get them brailled, I used to bring a braille writer and just say, well, read it to me. And then I'd braille it for myself, because I want my lines in a certain format, because I don't literally read the whole line. I read the beginning of it, and then I remember the rest of it, whatever the case might be. So there's things like that that you need to be able to deal with. They always, even for other actors, they do, you know, actors aren't doing their own makeup. So the fact that there's a makeup person doing it for you, is that's not really an accommodation. They want their makeup done a certain way. I mean, the director wants it done a certain way. So they always have someone, that's their responsibility. And they have a wardrobe person, that sort of thing. So you don't have to deal with that for really very much. Navigating on the set and, you know, hitting your marks, if you've got movements and activity and stuff like that, ask for whatever the required time is, and it should be as minimal as possible, to familiarize with yourself with the set. Ask the questions you need to ask to know what's around you and what's there. Is there a lip? Is there a step? Is there a, you know, objects? Are there lights or tripods or other things? And what directions are they? And so on and so forth. And where are my marks? And then there's various tactics that a lot of actors use. You know, there's tape on the floor and other things that can be used to hit specific marks, sandbags, different things like that they've used. And then you want to talk to, even though there's a director and so on and so forth, what I suggest before they start to shoot, you ask them, you know, who's behind the camera, you know, so you can hear the voice of where, because there is a person that will be behind a camera that will give you, if you hear their voice, now you know precisely where the camera or cameras are. And that's what you want to know. You want to know, where are these cameras? That doesn't mean that you face directly toward them. If you've had any acting coaching, you know that it's called cheating. You don't look directly into the lens, but you're cheating to one side or the other. And you can, you know, the director will give you that idea, or you can ask questions about it. But you want to be aware of where are they shooting you from, so that you can play to them the same way that any other actor does. And beyond that, it's focused on doing your work and doing the best acting that you can and making people feel comfortable with what you're doing.
Now you've done some lots of other activities for the blind. I read one article that you worked in the early 90s to make professional audio recording technology accessible for the blind. How did those efforts go?
I'm a professional audio engineer, and started working in that capacity in 1987. I used to work in the analog world, like everybody worked in those days. And when I recognized that music and audio production was going to become digital and be done on computers, I thought this might be an advantage for blind people, because I knew computers could talk, and this means we might be able to read VU meters and other visual gauges that were not accessible in the analog environment. And I began pursuing the earliest software that was available back in the days, 88, 89, 90, and in the early 90s. There was four or five companies that were competing to be the dominant platform in digital audio production. One company, DigiDesign, ended up sort of going to the front, leading the way. They created what's called Pro Tools, which Pro Tools is still kind of now the global standard for high-end digital audio production. It's not the only thing that's out there. I've used Logic Audio. It used to be owned by eMagic. Now it's owned by Apple. Logic Audio, and I know some of the Mark of the Unicorn stuff was accessible for a while. Cubase never really was. The Steinberger never really cared about accessibility very much. And what I did was I went straight to these companies and I told them I wanted to conduct tests. I wanted to test to see if their stuff was accessible and figure out how to use it so I could teach myself and then other blind audio engineers how to do it. And nobody really wanted to work with me. I would go to what they call the NAM show. That's the National Association of Music Merchants. It's a big music and trade show. And I went there 3 years in a row. I, you know, put on my suit and made my little paper presentation, and I went down and tried to talk to these four or five developers. And all I wanted to do was test the software and see, could we make it work for a blind person? Nobody would cooperate with me. And I figured out a strategy finally in the third year that eventually worked. And that's a long story in itself. I'll save for another time. But I figured out how I could pit one company against the other and eventually make them, because they didn't want to be outdone. Three of the four ended up agreeing to work with me. And we found that Pro Tools, the first time we loaded it up, it would just crash the computer. If the screen reader software for the Mac and Pro Tools were both on the machine, it would not even launch. It was terrible. Fortunately, I was able to talk the screen reader people and the Pro Tools and DigiDesign to converse with each other and to share code and figure out what was causing the problem. And they did, and DigiDesign, to their credit, in 1994 changed a element of their program that then made it accessible with the screen reader. And we eventually formed the National Society of Blind Audio Engineers, and basically a loose affiliation of blind folks that we used to have some conference calls and some collaborative stuff online. And I ended up creating blindproducers.org, BlindProducers, blindproducers.org, which is now being updated. It's going to be really the portal for information for blind audio engineers. Right now there's a 17-page self-assessment career guide and how do you get into digital audio production and so on and so forth that people can use to help figure out if they really want to get into this industry, and if so, what do they want to do. But in 1996 and beyond, Pro Tools became accessible for blind audio engineers. And now in 2003, I received the California Governor's Trophy at the National Business Leadership Conference. Because I train and employ blind people in audio production. And so I have blind engineers and blind voiceover artists that are now recording, producing video description in May and at the National Federation for the Blind in Baltimore with the funding from the Department of Education and the Video Description Research and Development Center, VDRDC.org. I've conducted training called Description Quality Specialist Certification Training. This is teaching blind people how to evaluate video description and to improve it so that they can be professional consultants to those who produce video description. And we've gotten blind people hired at various vendors around the country, and I've picked up some, probably five blind people working in my own company. And so we have blind voiceover artists, blind audio engineers, blind description quality specialists, and basically it's there are careers in audio production for blind people, and that's the result of all of that.
Okay, so we're running out of time, but before we go, what advice would you have for the blind that want to get into acting?
The best thing that you can do is get training. You know, always keep developing your craft. Join a local theater company or look for acting classes, either, you know, the Learning Annex, Learning Tree, local community colleges, universities, even if you want to get into that. Go to local theaters and meet other actors and try to find opportunities to act and learn the techniques that sighted people use, and then connect to the community of blind actors. I can't think of the name. Theater of the Blind in New York has a new name, but I'm sure you can find them. Again, what is that called? New Life Theater. That's a theater in Zagreb. That there's a whole bunch of blind theater companies. Go on the internet. Email me. You know, rick@rickboggs.com. I'll connect you. I'm hoping it goes online at the end of the year. The Directory of Blind Actors. So anyone that sends their resumes or video samples to me will be included in the Directory of Blind Actors that we'll be launching through my nonprofit organization, The Accessible Planet, which is theaccessibleplanet.org. So anyway, find blind actors, blind sighted actors, act. You know, actors act, musicians play music, whatever it is that you're into and that you want to do, don't think about doing it or talk about doing it, actually go and do it.
Well, okay, Rick. Well, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for the invitation, Brian.
This has been Speaking Out for the Blind. Thanks for listening, and remember to speak out. ACB.